This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning. 7:17, Tuesday, the 12th of July. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to economist Dr. Nong Sariradi on the importance of maintaining Bank Negara's independence. But in the meantime, let's talk about medicine shortages, because it is almost 3 years into the pandemic, and this issue in this country has not been resolved entirely. With the hand, foot and mouth disease outbreak, as well as a spike in the number of cases for COVID-19 and now influenza A, the situation looks far from being resolved. We see on social media reports that some pharmacies and clinics are low on supply for common medicines like paracetamol, cough syrup and lozenges for sore throats. At the same time, medical costs has also not escaped the wrath of inflation. In fact, the health news portal Code Blue reported that a study commissioned by the insurance industry found that medical treatment costs have increased by around 8 to 9% annually between 2013 and 2018. But if health is wealth, what do these medicine shortages and inflation mean for people in this country? And what long-term solutions can there be put in place? So, for some answers, we speak to Dr. Kojit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Good morning, Dr. Kojit. As usual, thank you for speaking to us. Now, some of these over-the-counter medicines are running low in supply. But let's be honest, this situation is not new. But how serious is the problem now? And what is causing this sustained shortage at this moment?
Good morning. Yes, the problem of the shortage of medication, it is across the board in certain types of medication, not every medication that is not available. Yes, there is a stock supply difficulty with the supplier, and there are various reasons for it. One of it is because of the huge demand that we have after the economy reopened. More patients are coming to the hospitals now, and we are not able, the vendors are not able to meet the demand. They have got issues which are quite genuine. They got logistic issues, shipment delays, port congestion. There are still lockdowns in certain parts of the world. And some of the disease pattern, outbreak of hand, foot, mouth disease, influenza, common colds, all require the similar type of medications. So hence, there is a little bit of surge. But not to worry, we do not have problems with critical condition medications. That we have enough.
Okay, and just to clarify, these shortages are only in private hospitals, clinics and pharmacies, right? Not in government hospitals. Why is that the case? Can you help us understand this?
Well, the methodology of procurement of medication in private differs slightly from what the government will do. The government buys in bulk because they have huge number of patients. They got a huge number of clinics that they have to supply. Whereas in private, we have to buy medication based on our demand. And if you overbuy medications and the medications expire, then those medications are actually will go to waste and they have to be discarded. So we have to actually calculate based on how much we can buy each time there is a demand.
And then can there not be better coordination between the public and private healthcare providers so that, you know, the public healthcare can actually, in a way, provide the private healthcare with the medicine that it requires, at least in the short term?
We are already working on some collaborative effort with the government. But of course, there is a lot of steps that you need to take. It is not as easy as just to go over to the government and collect the medications. Mm. Some coordination is required. And in fact, we have suggested that probably approve some import permits or to buy these medications from other countries on an emergency basis. And probably that will be easier. We are looking at full procurement with the government. But again, it depends on how would you want to buy these medications, because some of these medications that the government buys may not be the type of medications that we use in private. But there are some medications we can share. So we are looking at that. Hopefully, we can come to some sort of arrangement so that it is seamless for us to collect medications from the government procurements.
Okay, Dr. Koji, you already highlighted some of the short-term measures to alleviate the situation. But are there others, maybe in the medium and long-term, that we do want to consider so that in the future we don't have this medicine shortage issue in the country?
Well, I think the shortage issue this time is pretty global. It may not occur in the future because almost every country, if you visit and you ask, this problem is actually pretty much everywhere. Yes, I think the only way we can solve this problem is that we, as I mentioned to you earlier, that we have to work together. Because if we do not work together, then there is imbalance in getting these medications. So I think the only other way is, as I said, getting medications from other sources and increasing our alternatives would be one other method. But I strongly believe this is very, very short term because vendors, manufacturers will step up now as the demand has increased. So I doubt we'll have this issue again in the future. I think this is first time and may not be something so critical that we need to worry about.
Would a longer term solution be considering, or at least we should consider manufacturing perhaps more medicines in this country?
Well, manufacturing would be a good plan, but we must also look at the fact that we are only about 32 million population in this country. Whether manufacturing all the types of medications in Malaysia would be a feasible method. Will there be a cost benefit of manufacturing our own medications in Malaysia? Maybe for some common ones, it will make some sense. But usually when manufacturing medications is thought about, you must look at the numbers. How much are you going to supply and what is the kind of demand you're going to give? Unless you become, if you're able to export these medications out, yes, maybe. But I think it will be still feasible to buy these medications from outside than manufacturing our own.
Okay, Dr. Kojit, since we have you on the line and you're, of course, a medical doctor, we also want to be clear that we don't want to create a sense of panic and these shortages are temporary. But if you do face them at your local pharmacy or your clinic, what should you do if you're a patient?
Well, most of these medications are not for critical conditions. So at this point of time, we have a lot of alternatives. We can choose other brands. And in the private sector, we kind of share and exchange medications amongst private hospitals, among different groups. And to some extent, for the last 2 months, we have been managing it quite well. Of course, we cannot give excessive medication to patients. We have doctors will tailor and give medications that are enough to keep the symptoms down. So we are managing it quite well by using alternatives. Maybe you may not be able to use your favorite brand, but then there are so many alternatives as far as over-the-counter medications for cough and cold. So we have got that methodology for this. It becomes a worry when you, if ever there is shortage in, for conditions which are critical. Those medications, the alternatives sometimes are very few, but we don't have a problem with that.
Okay, and a study commissioned by the insurance industry found an average increase of 10% in medical costs almost every year as a healthcare provider and a private one. What do you think are the key contributing factors to this situation?
Well, anyway, the annual medical cost inflation is always between 7 to 10% globally, even before the pandemic. But looking at the global inflation seen at the moment in every sector, in double-digit inflation, in logistics, manufacturing, manpower, it is unreasonable to think that the healthcare industry will escape when we are dependent on all of these issues, drugs, maintenance of equipment, even housekeeping in a hospital. With the poor exchange rate, it's going to affect us even largely, particularly in healthcare supply chain. And certainly we can expect medical inflation to continue at the previous rate, if not more. It is worrying, but most of these are not within our control. Although the healthcare providers, we are doing our best to contain the cost as much as we can.
So what can I do as a private patient if I want to continue in private healthcare then?
Well, there is no, I don't see it's going to be easy because as the cost goes up in every part of our economic system, I think we just have to, most importantly, keep ourselves healthy because we cannot take health for granted. And it is not going to be easy as far as healthcare cost is concerned. I don't see it increasing drastically, but it will probably increase according to what yearly increment that we have seen in the past. So there is no real solution, but I always tell this to my patients that, you know, really, really, you have to be more serious with your healthcare. And of course, if it's unfortunate, then you have no choice but to seek treatment. But there is no escape route on this, the way I look at it.
And Dr. Kojit, can we get an update on the white paper? Because the government has said that they're reaching out to different stakeholders. Have you had conversations with them since you're the president of the Association of Private Hospitals in Malaysia?
Okay, the government has had consultative meetings with all the stakeholders, associations, including APHM. We have given our input to the White Paper Committee, but I believe there are going to be several more engagements with the government. The White Paper is basically to make sure that there's some amount of equity and also some amount of equitable healthcare among everyone so that everybody is accessible to healthcare. And how best it can be done, there are a lot of factors that need to be looked at. Private healthcare serves a huge community of patients who can afford private healthcare. And in fact, in the last 1-2 months, private hospitals are actually full. Mm. Private hospitals are full with patients who have got money in their hands, who have got guarantee letters in their hand. And, in the last 2 months, sometimes we can't even provide beds to private patients who actually can afford healthcare. So we're looking at a lot of dynamics here. Not just serving the masses, you're also looking at the dynamics of serving people who can afford private healthcare, and even that we're having difficulty at this point of time. So a lot of thought has been put into the white paper, and let's hope something good's come out of it, hopefully in November.
We certainly hope so. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Kojit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Up next, we'll be speaking to Nikkei Asia columnist William Pesek on the assassination of ex-Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. that's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.